Perhaps we could sing number 230. Number 230.
Desire of the local brethren here in Shadow Hills that the next 60 or 70 minutes be spent with an open meeting. There's a lot of different thoughts and feelings and opinions. I'm learning about open meetings. Sometimes it seems kind of contentious. I hope not. I want to talk a little bit before we start. A little story about a recent care meeting we had in Shadow Hills. The brethren got together. It was a good group. We were at full strength, which is always encouraging. We were going to talk about the speakers for this conference. So we got out the whiteboard. Actually, it was a chalkboard because we're kind of old school in Shadow Hills, but started putting down some names and with different meetings, and we got through all the speakers, and that was encouraging. We were of one mind. We thought we were making good progress, and quite a few of the brethren canceled the other day. So our well laid out plans were changed. Thankful to say that the Lord provided suitable alternatives. And to those of you that filled in, we want to say thank you. Back to the care meeting. We got to the end and somebody says, well, what about that TBD meeting to be determined? So that led to a discussion. Well, we could have an open meeting, you know, but it might make more sense to have a fifth reading meeting. Sometimes there's merit in that. And then somebody else thought, well, maybe an address would be good, you know. And we talked for a while, actually quite a while. And at the end of the meeting, we concluded that if we can look to the Lord for these 3 days of meetings to provide for us spiritual help, blessing, financially, that there wouldn't be any serious health or sickness, we should be able to rely on him for 60 minutes or 65. So I'd like to read a few verses. Turn, please, to a familiar portion in 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians chapter 14. And verse 29. 1 Corinthians 14, 29. Let the prophets speak, two or three, and let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. For ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn, and all may be comforted or encouraged. The spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. One more verse, 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 4 and verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we thank thee for answered prayer with respect to the last day and a half. We thank thee again that so many of our brethren had the desire to spend their holiday weekend here with us. We are honored and we thank thee. For this, we thank thee for undertaking for us in so many ways. Now at this time, we ask for help. On the hour ahead, we just pray, Lord, that it would be a blessing. We pray that if there would be a brother or two, possibly three, that has a portion indeed from thyself, that they would in fact have the liberty to take the podium and share it with us. Just ask this request now in thy alone worthy and precious name. Amen.
I want to turn to Colossians chapter 3 and read the first four verses of that chapter. I say that what our dear brother Bill had to say in the last meeting echoed a lot of some meditations I've had on that same subject of the Father's house. But I'm going to go from this scripture. If then ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affection, or the margin says your mind, on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. So here we have the exhortation to seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. To set our minds, this means that you and I take a definite measure to think on things that are above. And I must say, brethren, when I look at my life sometimes at the end of a day and reflect, how much of today have I had my mind on things above? The percentage is pretty low. Oh, brethren, at a moment's notice, we're going to vacate planet Earth and we're going to go into that glory above. And as Bill was saying, to try to imagine what it's going to be is pretty much beyond us. And I find that so often we say, well, there's no way we can understand those things. And we kind of dismiss it. And we don't really carry out what this exhortation is telling us. To set our mind on things above. I must say, brethren, it's kind of interesting. One time at a outing in Bolivia, we had in our local meeting at that time, it was Cochabamba. We went out into, we had a day where we all got together out in the countryside in some of the beautiful Andes Mountains, and they wanted to have some kind of a Bible study, so we took up these verses, and we had a chalkboard there. And it says here, set your mind on things which are above. I said, okay, now want somebody to stand over the chalkboard and write down the things that are above. You know, a first glance around, everybody, what are you talking about? Well, there's love, joy, peace up there. And there are things like that. But things, I said, come on, brethren. It talks about things above. Let's come up with some of the scriptures that talks about those things which are above. One of the things that was listed was what Brother Bill took up, the Father's house. Oh, I find that so thrilling, brethren. The Lord Jesus didn't say, in my house, no, in my Father's house. Why? Isn't it his house? Yes, but he doesn't present it that way. It's in my Father's house. Yesterday we had John chapter 1 and our brother mentioned that question that the two disciples that followed the Lord Jesus asked, where dwellest thou? And I must say, brethren, I have really enjoyed thinking, where was the Lord's dwelling place even when he was down here in this world? It says, if you go back to the 14th verse of chapter 1, the only begotten Son which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Where was his dwelling place? The bosom of the Father. That was his dwelling place from all eternity. And even when he was passing through this world, it was his dwelling place. And brethren, I like to think of the fact that the Lord Jesus, when he was here in this world, didn't really have a house of his own. He said, The foxes have holes. The birds of the air have nests. The Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Why didn't he have a house? Was it prohibited? No, it wasn't prohibited. But he came from the Father's house. And he couldn't find any place down here that equaled that. Frankly speaking, he wasn't interested in anything else because he had come from the Father's house. It's the place of the enjoyment of the Father's love. That place that he enjoyed from all eternity. You know, brethren, I must say I get such a thrill out of mingling with other countries where we have those who are in fellowship, the Lord's table with us. And at the beginning of this month, we were down in the Dominican Republic. And in quite a few of those countries, they have large families. And this time we were with a brother in the meeting of Loma Alta. It's a high hill that overlooks the Caribbean Sea on the north of the island. He has 18 children. That's something that's not much known in this country. So I was with him and I said, "Your 18 children, brother, which of them is your favorite?" He looks at me and shakes his head. "I don't have favorites." I thought that was so interesting. You know how children are different? Each one is different from another. And I think he could have said, "They're all my favorites." And it would be true. But when we think of the Father's house, brethren, and when we think of the glory, have you ever thought of the millions? I suppose we could say billions of the redeemed. We're going to feel lost in the crowd up there. I kind of get lost in the crowd down here. Where is that person I was looking for? No, brother. Everyone will have a special place for him. There's going to be a place for you that I can't fill. There's going to be a place for me that you can't fill. And I think that's the sense of, in my Father's house are many abodes, is really the word. It's a place adapted for each one. You will not feel lost in the crowd. How do you explain that? I can't do that, sorry. But that's what I believe to be the truth. Everyone is going to have a special place, suited, adapted for you. I find that so amazingly wonderful. You know, I was in a big crowd one time in La Paz, Bolivia. They were having a political rally for some candidate, and I don't remember who it was. But I can still remember, we must have been 5,000-6,000 people on that big open plaza. And I could see the candidate way up front, barely see him, as he started addressing the crowd. Talk about being lost in the crowd. But brethren, we're not going to be that way when we get to the glory. The Father's house has a place. He says, "I go to prepare a place for you." I hope I'm not interrupting any of your thoughts here, Bill, but I must say I enjoy this so much. And to think that God has a place for everyone. And so these are some of the things that are above. What else can we say about those things which are above? And I'm not going to be long up here, brethren, but you know we have Revelation chapter 21 and chapter 2, verse 5 of chapter 22 describes the heavenly city. The first 8 verses of chapter 21 describe the heavenly city in the eternal day after the first heaven and the first earth are passed away. And it's very interesting what it says. One of the things I just like to point out there, and just turn over to it in Revelation 21, that I find very interesting in verse 7, talking about that city and those that will be there, he says, "He that overcometh shall inherit all things." Excuse me, I mean verse 6. "He said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely." Thirst? In heaven? In eternity? And you know, thinking through that, what has come to my own heart is, brethren, even in that eternal day where everything is perfect, where there is no more sin to mar anything, we will never be sufficient in ourselves. We will always depend on our God to satisfy the thirst of our souls. I must say, I thoroughly enjoy that, to think about it. So we have a lot to be said. And like I say, the first 8 verses are the eternity. And then from verse 9 down through chapter 22, verse 5, you have the heavenly city in the millennial day. There you have walls. Interesting. What do you need walls for? You need walls to keep something out. And so that won't be necessary in the eternal day. So you don't find anything about walls in the first 8 verses. It's in the next part, which deals with the millennial day, because there's still going to be sin in occasions on earth. And so there's walls, there's gates. And so those things will be necessary in the millennial day. There's the tree of life there. The tree of life that was found in the Garden of Eden. Really a picture of the Lord Jesus. But here it's transplanted to the heavenly paradise. And isn't that wonderful? It says that the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. So there's not going to be any sickness anymore in the millennial day. Can you try to imagine this world without hospitals, without doctors, without medicine, without pharmacies? It's hard to imagine those things, but that's what it's going to be. Oh, brethren, these are things that I must say, I just want to challenge you to set your mind on things above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Find it so beautiful. One further thought, and I want to leave the rest of the time for others, but that I must say I have enjoyed. When the Lord Jesus says there in John 14, "I go to prepare a place for you." I remember years ago somebody saying, when he entered there as a man, the place was prepared. Never before was there a human being in resurrection glory in the presence of God. when he entered there and took his seat at God's right hand as a human being, as a man, he will be that a human being forever. The place was prepared for us. Oh, brethren, these are wonderful things to think about, to meditate on. And I think the more we do meditate on it, it's going to have the effect of transforming our lives. To take away so much occupation with things down here. Yes, we need to have a job and provide for our families. That's very proper. Scripture tells us that. But brethren, it gets overwhelming sometimes. And as I say, when I reflect on how much time I spend on the material instead of those things which are eternal, it really, it really is a challenge to me. Just before I close, I want to read the last verse of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Second Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18, he says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, or connected with time, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Oh, brethren, the Lord help us. You dear young people, spend your time, your extra time on things that will last forever. We have to be occupied in a certain measure with things of time. But the Lord help us in the time we have over and above to set our minds on things